The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
A new gambling czar with a staff of up to 100 independent specialists and a voluntary charter of people with gambling addictions are among the new measures being brought in as part of the new gambling regulations bill, which is currently being finalised and is due to go to Cabinet in summer. Under the new laws, gambling advertising will now fall under the remit of this new regulator. Gambling on credit cards will be banned outright as the government finally presses ahead with tough new laws to overhaul the industry. Joining me to discuss these new measures is James Brown, Minister of State for Law Reform at the Department of Justice. And as well, we have Barry Grant, Addiction Counsellor in Waterford and Chief Executive of Problem Gambling Ireland. Minister, if I can start with you, the gambling czar and this staff of 100 independent specialists will do what?
Well, the regulator will be a very powerful regulator and will be appointed under the new scheme of a bill that will be passed through the Dáil over the coming year and a half. And we've heard about a gambling regulator now for probably about 20 years. It's been kind of around in the mix, but it's never happened. And I was determined once I was appointed into my role as a Minister of State at the Department of Justice to ensure that what has been talked about for a very long time will in fact happen. And I set out a number of very strict timelines. And I think there is a realisation out there now that gambling addiction is the same as any other addiction. It's something that needs to be treated and addressed. And also that is a very hidden type of addiction that's out there as well, because very often the first time anybody realises that there's a gambling addiction is when the sheriff arrives at the door or the Garda Síochána arrive. When very often, if somebody has another addiction, at least you can see that descent and perhaps you can intervene at an earlier
stage. So how does this regulator function then to prevent that?
So the regulator will have the powers to actually regulate the gambling industry in this country. Our regulations, our laws are very much outdated. The betting acts are from the 1930s. The gaming acts are from the 1950s. And we've seen a revolution in technology over the last 20 years. And you may recall about 10, 12 years ago, there was a little bit of a hullabaloo about a casino setting up in Tipperary and what that might have an impact on people in terms of promoting gambling and gambling addiction. Now every 10, 12-year-old is going around with a casino in their back pocket. That's how much things have dramatically changed.
But then the logical inference from that is that this regulator will step in to end activity that is currently occurring because it is unregulated. So what's that activity? What will the change be?
Well, they have the powers to regulate advertising, promotion, sponsorship. They will be able to regulate any kind of promotional activities, because we see at the moment where, for example, free bets are given or somebody has gambling problems and they try to step back, they're giving, as I say, free bets or other incentives. That kind of thing needs to come to an end very quickly.
And what about advertising? Because some of the big gambling companies put huge money into both traditional media and social media advertising.
They do, and to traditional TV, television as well. So, I mean, if you turn on any sports at the weekend, you will be inundated with gambling. So absolutely, gambling regulator would have the power to regulate advertising, because people are being saturated with advertising. And behind that as well, there'll be a social fund paid by the gambling industry that would support education, research and treatment, because I think at the moment there isn't really sufficient treatment to go with the acknowledgement that gambling is a very serious addiction and needs to happen. So the legislation that will underpin the regulator will be very robust as well. We want to have this legislation that will actually be fit for purpose going into the future as well. And that's why we have this very much an independent and powerful regulator that they can move and adapt with the times.
You gave the example of a situation where a family might discover that they have a family member with a gambling addiction only at the point at which the sheriffs or repo men arrive to start taking things out of the house. How does this bill or this regulator change that?
So the regulator's primary function will actually be a public health remit. So one of the key issues the regulator will bring in will be something similar that we see in the UK, where you have self-exclusion rules. So if you have an addiction, that you can notify the regulator, who in turn will notify the various gambling institutes, that this person is not allowed to bet. They are self-excluding. Also, you have to know your customer. So for example, if you're gambling with 2-3 times a week your monthly salary, I mean, that should be a red flag for any gambling institution. At the moment, there's no rules or regulations around that until, again, it's gone simply gone.
But hang on, let me separate the two. So the first of those is based on the premise that I, as a gambling addict, say, I am an addict and I will now go, a bit like going to your local off licence and saying, I'm an alcoholic, don't serve me anymore. I would imagine it is a very small number of people who have sufficiently hit rock bottom that they will go to the provider and say, cut me off.
No, absolutely. And look, obviously that requires a certain element of self-awareness. And in any addictive situation. Very often that is when you're at rock bottom or certainly getting there. So it is, but I think it's an important and powerful weapon that will be there for someone with an addiction. So when they are getting that feeling for that impulse, it gives them that little element of
freedom. But what of the ones who are addicted and haven't decided to cut themselves off?
Well, there's always a challenge with anyone with an addiction who doesn't have that self-recognition yet. But what needs to be in place is that the regulator has the power to ensure that the gambling institutions have that level of customer awareness, of that customer knowledge. So that may mean that insisting on, for example, bookmakers asking you what is your source of wealth, as we do in anti-money laundering and anti-terrorist financing regulation, to know what is your source of your wealth. How are you gambling X amount per week or per month? And the algorithms with it that they have available to various institutions, they can pick that up now, and they need to be able to pick that up and ask those questions.
Just let me walk through that. So if I'm a regular problem gambler and I have all of the apps on my phone and I have this big multinational company, that big multinational company, I have another local company, I have the bookies around the corner that I walk into, I could be betting across 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 legal entities, some of them domiciled in this country, some of them not. How can any one of them look at me and say, what percentage of your income are we getting?
Well, to provide a gambling service in this country, you will have to have a license. And currently, you do have to have a license via the revenue commissioners. So that can be enforced. And the gambling regulator will be able to withdraw your license if you're not complying with the codes of conduct, to issue fines.
No, but what I'm asking is, if I am single large multinational, I may be getting 10% of your income. Everybody else might be getting 10%, and you might be skint because you're spending so much on gambling. How am I responsible for you? How can I intervene in that context? How can the regulator make me protect you?
Well, the regulator will be able to assess various different codes of conduct that are required. In any particular situation, there is no one step, if you like, a regulator is going to be able to bring in the 100% guarantee protection to everybody. But there's an awful lot of steps that can be brought in that are in other countries that can help slow you down and then ensure that that problem is minimized. But as I say, there's also going to be that social fund in there, so that if people are not caught, if they do go too far, that there is the necessary treatment in place paid by the people, the gambling institutions, who are benefiting from your gambling addiction.
I mentioned we have Barry Grant with us, who is an addiction counsellor in Waterford and he's chief executive of Problem Gambling Ireland. Barry, would you be optimistic that the presence of a new regulator and the new gambling regulations bill will make a significant difference to the problem of addiction?
Well, it could make a huge improvement, Anton, and thanks for having me on. And just to clarify, I'm no longer with Problem Gambling Ireland. I'm with a charity called Extern Problem Gambling. But, I mean, it would be a massive improvement on the current situation. Unfortunately, my line went down for part of the minister's interview, and I'd like to commend the minister on really kind of putting some of this into action and putting timelines on this. But even something like a multi-operator self-exclusion scheme, like we have people who contact our helpline, who go to our counselling service, who are crying out for something like that because they know that willpower alone makes it very, very difficult for them to resist urges and to prevent relapse. So having something, you know, that exists in many other jurisdictions where there's a joined up approach between all of the operators, there's a centralised database run by an independent gambling regulator where a person can log on and say, look, I don't want to gamble in any land-based venues anymore or any online gambling websites or apps anymore. Here are my details. The operator regulator confirms that the person is who they say they are, and the person voluntarily self-excludes. That would be a huge one. I mean,
and is that a common paradigm, Barry, that people who are addicted to gambling, that they get to a point where they don't want to do it anymore, commit to that, and then lack the will to stick with it and relapse?
It's huge, yeah. I mean, relapse is very, very common. It's all too easy. I mean, I just got off the phone with a counselling client who had self-excluded to the best of his knowledge from all his online gambling accounts. He had put on blocking software onto his phone. There's a good one called Gamban. And he, during the week, he'd gotten a marketing email from a company that he'd forgotten he had an account with. On the email, it wasn't even possible for him to unsubscribe from the marketing email where they were offering him free bets and free spins. Because he'd blocked gambling at source on his phone, he couldn't log on to make sure that he closed down the account. You know, so I mean, these inducements to gamble are everywhere. For the people that we work with, they're trying to stop gambling. They're making a very concerted effort to stop gambling, but because they've searched for gambling-related search terms in the past, their social media is crammed with gambling advertising, which is targeted directly at them. And we'd love to see the social media companies making it easier for people to completely opt out of those. But, you know, there are triggers to relapse all around people for who are trying to stop gambling.
Can I pick up, Minister, on that thing of the advertising? Because whatever else about people's capacity to exclude or the social fund that may support them if they become addicted, there aren't now that many. There are some, but there aren't that many addictive behaviours where you are literally inundated every day with incentive to take part in them.
No, you're not. And we've seen in the past where we've put in serious restrictions around tobacco, around alcohol, and we need to see serious restrictions put in around gambling as well. Now, ordinary little bet here and there, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing illegal with that. But there is a serious saturation from gambling advertising, both online and offline. And I think it's something that very much needs to be targeted. It is going to be complex. I mean, you turn on the Premier League or you turn on Match of the Day, you are inundated with gambling from the UK, if you like, for example, as well, in terms of advertising. So it's not going to be straightforward, but I think there's an awful lot that can be done and needs to be done.
There's a text on that thing of where you mentioned that you turn on certain sporting events, you see it almost instantly. Will the minister ensure an end to the subsidies for greyhound racing? Because greyhound racing and horse racing in Ireland, both of them industries which are intrinsically connected with gambling, are in the almost unique position of having ring-fenced funding from the state to support them.
Well, I think, unfortunately, in the last maybe 10, 20 years, gambling has become intrinsically linked with sports, full stop. And we see now increasing sports jerseys having gambling advertisements on it as well. So an awful lot of that is going to have to be addressed through the regulator, through various codes of conduct and through bans for certain sections as well. So that's going to have to happen. But in terms of the greyhound and the horse racing industry, those funds are there to support the industry, not the gambling. But we do need to break that link. There's no question about that.
Yes, but very few industries are as intrinsically connected with gambling as those two.
But it's something that's actually spreading as well. So I accept that gambling and maybe certain industries was there for a certain length of time. But you're seeing gambling now, in particular, breaking into soccer a huge amount. We've seen that massively. And I think that actually has a wider a remit in terms of reaching out to people as well. So I think targeting one particular industry is not going to solve this problem. We need to bring in advertising solutions to protect people from this barrage of advertising that addresses all the various different sports in this country.
Barry Grant, are you seeing the impact of that barrage of advertising in the rates of addiction? Have you any evidence to suggest that more people are now becoming addicted to gambling than once was?
Well, we recently looked back over the last 3 months of our service, where we started offering a free counselling service through the Hidden Problem campaign. And if we looked simply at website traffic, which is an easily trackable indicator, we saw 6,000 people accessing our new users accessing our website in that 3 month period. That was up 64% on the same 3 month period last year. So that would be an indicator. Certainly, with talking to people on the phones and working with people in counselling, one of the things that we're seeing, and that we've seen, I suppose, lockdown has probably fed into this a lot, is what I would term loosely as rapid onset of gambling problems or gambling addictions, where people who had either never gambled before lockdowns or who only ever gambled recreationally or moderately before lockdowns started gambling in a more problematic, out-of-control way. So I think in the last year, I mean, the lockdowns definitely would not have helped, generally speaking, but we were always seeing an increase anyway. And one of the things we're seeing in the last year, which is another, I suppose, unregulated sector, is day trading, forex trading, cryptocurrency. You know, everybody I'm talking to at the moment is talking about these things where, you know, we don't have a regulator for those. They're probably one of the most dangerous and harmful forms of gambling, and a lot of people unfortunately don't view them as gambling, so they kind of view them as a safer alternative. So there are a lot of factors that are kind of nudging people towards an increase in problematic gambling behaviors.
There's two other areas as well that I just want to address, one of which is it is going to be relatively easy, and I mean that literally, relatively easy for the regulator to deal with a large corporate entity because they behave like large corporate entities. We're getting a lot of texts along the lines of, what about the bartender who runs across to the betting office and puts bets on for their own punters so that they don't have to leave the pub? What about that kind of small behaviour, small betting? That is endemic across the country. How do you address that? How will the regulator address that? Can they?
It is endemic, and it's something that I remember from an awful long time ago. It's something that has happened for a very long time. The regulator will have the powers to regulate all aspects of gambling in this country for the first time. Everything has been brought together. So even, for example, the advertising that currently does not come under the Department of Justice, that's going to come under the regulator. So this regulator will be powerful and will be able to regulate anything like that the regulator feels is necessary. The important point to remember is the regulator is being appointed with a primary remit of public health. And that is absolutely critical, and not simply regulating the industry as a financial industry, if you like.
Final thing on that note, one of the things in the legislation moots that the gambling using credit cards will be banned. How will that work?
Well, effectively, all gambling by way of credit should be ended. So if you are gambling, it should be only with money that you actually have. So effectively, like the gambling operators know if it's you're using your credit card, and that simply should not be allowed. So you will have to transfer money to an account if you want to use it to gamble, if you like.
So you'll either have to have the capital there or use a debit card or something so that you're not racking up a debt on it, but you'll still be able to have an online account or an app account as before.
You'll still be able to have that online account, absolutely.
How long before you expect this to come through Cabinet and become legislation?
Well, expected to go through Cabinet at the end of September for the scheme. The regulator will be appointed by the end of this year. And the idea is to have the two of those dovetail. So to a certain degree, how long it takes to go through the Oireachtas out of my hands, I'm in the hands of the Dáil and the Seanad, who will certainly be driving this as quickly as possible. The aim is to have by early 2023, about 18 months away, to have both the regulator fully up and operational.
And fully staffed.
And to have the legislation passed as well. So the aim is that both will dovetail, and we're not simply passing legislation and then waiting another 18 months for the regulator to get up and going, if you like.
Minister, thank you very much. That is James Brown, Minister of State for Law Reform at the Department of Justice. And before him, we had Barry Grant, who is an addiction counsellor based in Waterford.